CBS News is next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. The weather outlook calls for late night and morning fog or low clouds. Mostly sunny tomorrow afternoon, but increasing cloudiness on Monday. Tomorrow's high in the upper 50s, mid-50s on Monday. Lows in the low 40s. And currently, it's 48 degrees. The time, 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Vice President Gerald Ford has warned Republicans that they must work hard to avoid heavy losses in this fall's congressional elections. I'm Stephanie Shelton, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Ford spoke at a fundraising dinner Saturday night in Atlantic City, New Jersey, although he scoffed at some predictions that the GOP could lose 50 to 100 House seats. He warned his listeners that a heavily Democratic Congress could wreak havoc on President Nixon's foreign policy plans. As for the president himself, Ford said he was with him Thursday during a final briefing for Henry Kissinger's trip to Russia.
I want to tell you without any hesitation, qualification, equivocation, as I sat there and watched the president ask questions, as I saw him make statements, as I saw him interrogate individuals, your president is healthy, strong, mentally and physically, and a darn good president.
Secretary of State Kissinger is winging toward Russia at this hour. He'll make a three-hour stopover in Bonn Sunday morning and arrive in Moscow Sunday evening. On Kissinger's agenda for the Russian talks, the suddenly cooled U.S.-Russian relations, the Mideast, and President Nixon's projected Russian visit. The latest on that Pennsylvania firebombing in a moment.
This is Eddie Arnold with a word from your heart association. Well, two words, actually. But they're words that work together very well. Give and live. Yes, when you and I give to the Heart Fund, we help more hearts to live longer lives. We help the Heart Association in its year-round fight against the heart and blood vessel diseases. So when a Heart Fund volunteer comes calling on you this month, remember the two words, give and live. Thank you.
Twenty-four-year-old Ernest James Burton Jr. is being held by Pennsylvania authorities in connection with that Allentown bar firebombing, which killed 8 people and injured 12 more Saturday afternoon. Lehigh County District Attorney George Joseph says Burton turned himself in shortly after the fire started. Burton allegedly threw a can of burning gasoline into the middle of the crowded bar. The local fire chief says Burton had been thrown out of the club earlier in the day. President Nixon spoke to the nation Saturday on the subject of education. In a radio address from Camp David, Maryland, Mr. Nixon called once again for an anti-busing amendment and promoted more local control of education, as exemplified in an administration bill to be considered by the House next week. The Senate is discussing another education bill, however, one that the president said would move the country in the wrong direction. Rhode Island Democratic Senator Claiborne Pell, chairman of an education subcommittee, disagreed.
What he calls a bureaucratic nightmare, red tape, is because we sought to write the bill specifically, with specific language, so the administration will carry out the intent of Congress, which very often in the past they have not done. Since we reported out of the committee unanimously, and I hope to get a pretty good vote in the Senate, and would hope that the compromise that develops in the conference with the House would be a good bill that perhaps he might pass without vetoing, because obviously we'll have to compromise on some issues when we go to conference. And even if we don't, I would hope that we could pass it over his veto.
The Senate bill, says Pell, leaves unchanged the current law allowing busing for racial balance. The New York Times says that congressional staff experts investigating President Nixon's taxes are reportedly convinced that the original deed for the gift of his vice presidential papers never existed. Mr. Nixon claimed a $576,000 tax deduction for those papers, and the deed would presumably clear up the argument about the timing of that gift. The White House says it can't find the deed, but has claimed that a later post-dated deed proved that the deduction was legal. More in a moment.
Hi, this is Peter Falk, National East of Seal Chairman. I know you've got your own problems, your own family to provide for, But if you don't care for crippled kids and handicapped adults, who will? You know what hope is? Well, hope, and if you're lucky, 15 cents will get you a cup of coffee. But hope is not a joke. It's a way of life. A reason for living for thousands of crippled children and adults being helped by Easter Seals. Hope is often all they have, and they need you to help give promise to that hope, to work the wonders of rehabilitation. When you give to Easter Seals, you help a kid to walk or talk for the first time in his life. A man who has had a stroke to learn to relive his life. You can help turn thousands of hopes into realities by reaching into your pocket and giving generously to Easter Seals. Please, if you don't care for the handicapped, who will?
Libya has proposed a three-tiered price scale for Arab oil, which would give Third World and Muslim countries preferential treatment over industrialized nations. According to the Libyan news agency, the government statement on the price policy said that the industrial world must choose either Libyan friendship or that of Libya's enemy, and if it chooses Libya's enemy, it will have to pay the price. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. A couple of sports scores in the National Basketball Association. The Seattle Supersonics in a high-scoring game beat Golden State 139-137. In high school basketball, Garfield of Seattle won the state AAA high school basketball championship in an easy 79-67 win over the Richland Bombers. KIXI time is 6 minutes past 11.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense. Welcome to the fear you can hear. But mostly, welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. The story you are about to hear is a love story. But a love story which begins at the point where many love stories end. It begins after the wedding march has been played, after the vows of love and fidelity exchanged. It begins on the honeymoon in a strange and terrifying fashion.
Don't! Don't come near me! Stay away from me, Dad!
Susan, are you out of your head?
I saw her picture. Do you hear me? I found her picture on our honeymoon.
Our mystery drama, Deadly Honeymoon, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor. And stars Betsy von Furstenberg and Michael Wager. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll return shortly with Act One.
Who's there? Who is it? Who's there?
Oh.
You. What do you want here?
I can't rest. I can't sleep. I'm haunted.
You're haunted? What's haunting you?
The specter of the federal income taxes I paid last year.
Listen, son, you didn't earn enough to pay taxes last year.
I know, but they took taxes out of my paycheck anyway.
So what? That's no mystery. You simply file a tax return and get it back.
Really?
Sure. Lots of students are in the same boat.
Oh, what a relief. Now I can rest.
It's true. If you're a student, retiree, seasonal worker, or other kind of part-timer, and you had federal income tax withheld from your 1973 pay, you may have a refund coming, but you must file to get it. You may not have to file a return if your earnings were low, but you must file a return to get a refund. Check with the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh!
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free and see. Where do I go from here?
about the new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Our story begins 36,000 feet in the air on a flight which departed from New York's Kennedy Airport and in another hour will be touching down at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. There are almost 100 passengers on this flight, but an observant stewardess is giving special attention to that handsome couple in seats 18A and 18B. Perhaps it's because all honeymooners have a special radiance.
Are you sure you wouldn't like some more coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. Not for me.
I wouldn't mind a cup.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Just ring if you need anything else.
You'd think we were the only people on this flight.
As far as I'm concerned, we are. Oh, Dan, I feel absolutely drunk with happiness. Is that a funny word for the way I feel?
No. It's a great word, Susan.
I was flying hours before we got on the plane. Oh, what time did you say we land in Chicago?
About 2:30.
Is it far from the airport to the hotel?
No, actually, it's only about a half an hour from O'Hare to downtown, about 16 miles.
Still, I don't think we'll have time to make Evanston today, do you?
Well, it might be better to go in the morning. You can call your aunt from the hotel.
Dan, you sure you don't mind going to Evanston? I mean, I just couldn't possibly be a few miles away and not see Aunt Clara. Besides, I want to show off my new husband to somebody, and she's all the family I have.
Was she your mother's sister?
No, my father's. She came east when my parents were killed in that crash. Stayed with me for a month or so. That was about the most that either one of us could stand.
She sounds like a holy terror.
Oh, no, she's just crotchety, that's all. But she'll only be more crotchety if she learns that I passed through Chicago and didn't even stop by.
Well, what kind of work are you in, Mr. Carey?
All right, now, we like to say we're management consultants, Mrs. Rowland. But we also do quite a bit of executive recruitment.
I don't understand a word of that.
Dan helps corporations find the right people for important jobs, Aunt Clara. His firm is the biggest in the field, isn't it, Dan?
Well, it's always hard to measure a business like ours.
But it has offices everywhere, doesn't it?
In most of the major cities, yes.
And now Dan is going to take over the branch in San Francisco. He's going to manage the entire thing.
Is that some kind of a promotion?
Well, of course it is.
I ask the gentleman, Susan. Speak when you're spoken to.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, Mrs. Rowland, it is a promotion. Truth is, it's a job that everyone in my office has been after.
Oh, it's just worked out so beautifully for us. I mean, Dan having to move to San Francisco. We're sort of combining a business trip with a cross-country honeymoon.
And where do you go from here?
Well, we're planning to stay 2 days in Chicago, and then we're going to Dallas.
We're going to cross the Rio Grande into Mexico. I know a great little hotel in Monterey.
Then we're going to Las Vegas.
To gamble, I suppose?
Well, it's no fun going to Las Vegas if you don't gamble a little.
Your father never gambled for so much as a dime, Susan. That wasn't the way he made his fortune.
Well, I promise not to bankrupt the family, Aunt Clara. Anyway, we're just staying in Las Vegas overnight. And then going to Los Angeles.
3 days later, I report to work.
Thoroughly exhausted, of course.
Well, that's your idea of a honeymoon. I hope you enjoy it. Susan, I suppose lunch is almost ready. You want to help me bring it out?
Oh, yes, of course.
Kitchen's this way, in case you've forgotten.
The truth is, I have.
I'm glad to be able to talk to you alone for a minute, Susan.
Did you like Dan, Aunt Clara? Isn't he good looking?
Older than you, isn't he?
What difference does that make?
How long did you know him?
Oh, we met at a party at the Williamsons. Do you remember my friend, Tracy Williamson?
Didn't ask you where you met. I'm asking you when.
Well, it was about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks? Oh, for the love of heaven, Susan.
Aunt Clara, the time you know somebody isn't always the most important thing.
He's practically a stranger. How can you be sure of anything about a man you've known for 3 weeks?
From the time we met, I saw Dan every single day.
Susan, when a girl is all alone in the world, when she has independent means
Please,
of her own...
Please, Addie, don't start in about Dan being a fortune hunter. I don't have that much money, and it's all in trust anyway. And I assure you, Dan earns enough income to take care of us both very well.
Well, I'm sorry, Susan. I know I don't have any control over what you do. You're too old for that. But I've seen something of the world, too, you know. And the most important lesson I've ever learned is never trust a stranger.
And Clara, that's ridiculous. Now, can we bring out the lunch?
I don't know. I just have the feeling that Chicago wasn't all you expected it to be.
Well, we weren't there very long, Dan. And don't forget, we spent half the time with your business associates.
Oh, honey, I am sorry about that. I suppose I never should have called Bill Kincaid to say we're in town. Should have known he'd insist on getting together.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. I just didn't know what he was talking about half the time. All those office politics.
Yes. Well, Bill loves to gossip. But you can see what I mean about the San Francisco job. Everybody in the company wanted it. They'll never get over resenting me for being picked. But I am sorry if you were bored.
It's all right, Dan, really. After all, I inflicted Aunt Clara on you.
She was okay.
Well, I know you didn't find her very friendly.
Well, why should she be? I think she's a very protective type. Anybody you married would get her jaundiced eye.
Yes, I suppose that's true enough. Dan, how long did you know Terry Williamson?
Who?
Terry, my ex-roommate. We met each other at her house. Or have you forgotten that already?
Tell you the truth, darling. I didn't know whose house I was at that night.
Oh, so Terry wasn't the one who invited you?
No. It was a man named Bob Chambers, one of the executive types. I got placed at General Utilities. Don't ask me who invited him, because I don't know.
I see. So it was all sort of roundabout.
What's the difference? Still turned out to be the best party I ever attended.
Yeah.
Hey, something the matter?
Oh, no, of course not. Nothing at all. Dan, where did you say we were staying in Dallas?
It's a little hotel called the Lazy Sea. It's kind of rustic, but I think you'll like it. Besides, we'll only be there one night. We'll rent a car in the morning and drive down to Monterey.
You really know all the offbeat places, don't you?
Well, when you travel around enough, I guess you begin looking for them.
You haven't done that much traveling on the job, have you?
Huh? Well, no, not that much. Say, do you know the name of the airport in Dallas?
I forget.
It's called Love Field. Isn't that a great name for honeymooners?
Yes. Starting to worry.
No, I had a little trouble with the phone lines back to New York, but I got through okay.
Everything all right?
Yeah, sure, everything's fine. Hey, you look a little strange, though.
Oh, no, I'm all right. I had a drink while I was waiting for you.
Say, you better watch that tequila. It sneaks up on you like a bandito.
Actually, something sort of funny happened.
What do you mean?
Dan, when we were in Chicago in that restaurant, I forget the name of it,
the place we went to with Bill?
Yes, when you and your friend were talking about all the office politics back in New York. I saw this man looking at us.
What man?
Well, he was at the bar. I'm not even sure why I noticed him. He was wearing this plaid raincoat. I remember wondering if it had started to rain.
I guess you were just bored with all our talk.
Anyway, I saw him turn to look at us.
Probably to look at you. Can't blame him for that.
The funny thing is, as soon as you turned around, he got up very quickly and left.
Susan, I don't remember seeing anyone in a plaid raincoat. And I'm afraid I don't see anything unusual about it.
Well, I guess I didn't either. I probably wouldn't have given it another thought, but I think I saw that same man here again today.
In Monterey? Oh, you're kidding.
Well, I can't swear it was him. I didn't get a good look at his face the first time. All I really noticed was the coat.
And you saw the coat again? Is that it?
Yes. He was carrying it over his arm.
Oh, darling. You know the story about the airport truck?
Airport truck? No.
Well, this guy on a plane looks out the window and sees one of those little red airport trucks. You know, fueling the plane, bringing food aboard, something like that. Anyway, the plane takes off from New York and lands in Chicago. Another little red truck comes out to meet it. The guy next to him says, "Hey, we made good time, didn't we?" And he says, "Yeah, but that little red truck really made time." Well, I can see that I didn't marry a great audience.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. It bothered me a little.
Oh, forget it. And speaking of airports, next up, the City of Angels.
I wonder if they have this week's digest. Oh, I see it.
Excuse me.
Yes?
You're Mrs. Daniel Carey, aren't you?
Why, yes, I am. Do I know you?
No, Mrs. Carey, but I know you. Saw your husband leaving the hotel about half an hour ago. Are you planning on meeting him?
Oh, wait a minute. I've seen you before.
Have you?
You're the man with the coat, the plaid raincoat.
Well, you happen to be right. I do own a plaid raincoat, but with this nice sunny weather...
Excuse me.
Look, Mrs. Carey, I know it seems as if I'm following you.
Yes, it does.
Well, okay, it's true. But I've had a reason.
Such as?
Could we talk about it someplace? There's a coffee shop in the hotel.
I'm sorry. I don't even know who you are.
Maybe it would help if I introduced myself. My name is Harrington. Lieutenant Gail Harrington, attached to New York City Police Department.
Police?
That's right, Mrs. Carey. So you see, what I have to discuss with you is police business.
But what have I done?
It's nothing you've done. It concerns your husband. And what he might do.
It looks like Dan and Susan Carey's honeymoon is in for a surprise. Or perhaps more than one. Maybe Susan will soon wonder if her Aunt Clara wasn't right about a number of things, including her cynical advice about trusting no strangers. We'll find out about the new stranger in Susan's life when I return shortly with Act Two.
Some beer drinkers have funny ideas about beer. They think beer improves with age, like wine. We'll find a brewmaster, though. You'll find a beer drinker who knows better. The Budweiser brewmaster says it all depends on how beer is aged. Just letting beer sit in lagering tanks makes it older, not necessarily better. That even goes for keeping a case around the house for a couple of months. But there is one kind of aging that's good for beer. The Budweiser kind. Beechwood aging. In this kind of aging, something happens. It lets all the flavor of the choicest hops and best barley malt that go into Budweiser get through to you. Sure, it takes more time and trouble to brew Budweiser that way. But brewing beer right does make a difference. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Bigger and better. Eastside Rental in Bellevue, the home of 1,000 rental tools for the man who wants to do it himself around the yard or home. Eastside Rental's new facilities are ultra-modern, assuring you fast service and lots of parking right at their door. Located at 11830 Northeast 8th Bellevue. Phone GL44088. For you contractors listening, Eastside Rental can help you with that extra heavy-duty equipment you don't want to invest your capital in. They'll fix you up right now. Call GL44088. Two locations to serve you, Midlakes on Bellevue-Redmond Road and in Redmond on the Fall City Highway. GL44088. They rent most everything, and they're open 7 days a week.
In the pleasant, cheerful atmosphere of a coffee shop in a large Los Angeles hotel, newlywed Susan Carey finds herself facing a man she has never seen before. A man whose solemn eyes look at her over a steaming cup of coffee and seem to warn her of nightmares to come. But so far, Lieutenant Gail Harrington of the New York Police Department is merely asking questions.
How long have you been married now?
Only about 10 days.
Was it a long engagement? Did you know your husband for some time before?
No. No, not very long.
Well, could you be more specific? How long ago did you meet him? And where?
Well, it's a month now. Just about that.
A month? Hmm. Then you really don't know much about him, do you?
Oh, you and Aunt Clara.
Beg pardon?
Lieutenant, will you please tell me what this is about? Has my husband committed some crime? Is that what you're implying?
Oh, I didn't say that, Mrs. Carey. But believe me, it would be helpful to both of us if you could just tell me a little bit about the circumstances.
You know, I don't see why this has to be so one-sided.
Now, please bear with me.
All right. I met Dan at a party at a friend's house about a month ago. We talked a lot. We liked each other. We started dating. I saw him every single day.
And what business did he tell you was in?
You make it sound as if he lied to me.
No, I didn't mean to do that.
He's a management consultant. I know he is. He's just gotten a very important job in San Francisco, head of the entire office. We're going there tomorrow.
So that was the purpose of the trip?
Yes.
But since you've been married 10 days, I gather it's a honeymoon as well.
Well, naturally it is.
Yes, naturally.
Lieutenant.
Miss Carey, do you know if your husband was ever married before?
Married? No.
Are you really certain?
Now, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Dan's a bigamist or something?
No, Mrs. Carey, certainly not that.
Then what is it?
I've got to tell you, but you have to understand one thing. Now, I am not assigned to this case anymore. My interest is strictly unofficial. I may be completely mistaken, but you're the only one who can prove it one way or another.
Prove what?
About whether your husband ever called himself Don Crawford. And once, 4 years ago, David Chase. See? All the same initials, like Dan Carey.
You are saying he's a criminal?
Not just a criminal, Mrs. Carey. A wife killer.
You're crazy.
I hope so. Believe me, I do. Let me start at the beginning. If you still think I'm crazy by the time I'm finished, I'll be happy to buy you that coffee and go on my way. But if you think I'm not, if you have any doubts, then I want you to tell me so and let me help you.
All right. Go on. I know you're wrong, but go on.
I first heard of Don Crawford back in 1965 when I was attached to the homicide detail in the Los Angeles PD. Mrs. Crawford was the former Edith Burbank. She was the youngest daughter of a wealthy family in Baltimore. Only when I saw her, she was never going to enjoy her money anymore. She was dead. Her throat had been cut by one of those, quote, mysterious intruders, unquote, that the papers liked to write about. Her husband, Don, was broken-hearted, naturally. They'd only been married 4 weeks. But her death also made him some money. Not a fortune, really. There was a mix-up about her will, and he ended up with nothing but a handsome payoff from the family. Mrs. Carey, you okay?
I can't believe I'm sitting here listening to this.
I won't be long, I promise. Anyway, I was assigned to the Crawford case, and I didn't exactly cover myself with glory.
You mean you never found the mysterious intruder?
That's right.
So naturally, you decided that maybe there wasn't any.
Let me go on, Mrs. Carey, okay?
Yes, yes, go on.
Anyway, I ran into a similar case about 4 years ago. The murder of a young bride fresh from her honeymoon. A broken-hearted groom named David Chase. I thought Chase and Crawford were one and the same man. But I couldn't convince the district attorney of the resemblance. But I am still convinced, Mrs. Carey.
you think Dan is the same person?
Oh, he's changed again, of course. His hair is lighter than Chase's. He's thinner and paler. But there's something about the face I can't forget.
And even if it's true, you still have no proof. Is that it? You couldn't solve your case, so you're holding on to your first solution.
Wait, Mrs. Carey. Let me tell you why I was so sure that Crawford and Chase were the same man. It was because of the honeymoon.
What?
It's my theory that their honeymoons were identical. A compulsive honeymoon, you might say.
That is ridiculous.
Criminals are like that. Creatures of habit, most of them. Afraid to change a pattern, maybe for fear that their luck will change with it.
What do you mean by it?
I stumbled on the coincidence accidentally. But as far as I could trace it, Don Crawford and David Chase took their brides to the same places. They did the same things. And I knew that if I ever saw that pattern duplicated, I would have my killer. I hope I'm wrong, Mrs. Carey, but you are the only one who can tell me. And my first question is this. Was your first stop Chicago?
Yes. Yes, of course it was. And you knew that. That's where we first saw you, in Chicago, in that restaurant.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
You can't possibly make something out of that. Dan wanted to see people in the Chicago office, and I thought it would be nice to visit my aunt in Evanston. She's my family.
Was your next stop after Chicago in Texas?
Yes. We went to Dallas. Dallas is a wonderful place to visit, Lieutenant. I don't see anything so peculiar about that.
Both Chase and Crawford went to Dallas. They chose offbeat hotels. I guess they didn't care to be seen very much. Where did you stay in Dallas?
It was a perfectly nice hotel. I don't think you could describe it as offbeat.
All right. And then the next stop would be Monterey.
You knew we were in Monterey because that's where I saw you the second time.
By that time, Mrs. Carey, I'd made up my mind to follow you.
Are you saying that these supposed wife killers you're talking about also went to Monterey?
Yes, they did, and from Monterey to Las Vegas.
Well, then you're wrong, Lieutenant. You're completely wrong.
You mean you didn't go to Vegas?
No. So there goes your famous theory, doesn't it?
I admit I'm
We surprised. Changed our mind about Vegas. We decided that we might be too tempted to gamble away all the money we had for the trip.
Ah, so you did have it on the schedule.
Well, yes. Yes, we did, but we didn't go.
You really think that changes the pattern? The fact that you didn't go?
Oh, please, I can't stand any more of this. I don't want to hear any more of it.
Mrs. Carey, Edith Burbank was killed in Los Angeles, in her hotel room, this hotel.
I'm leaving.
Mrs. Carey, wait.
You're wrong. You've got Dan mixed up with someone else.
Let me finish, please. Just one more moment.
Oh, please, no. Please, let me go.
Well, there you are.
Oh. I didn't realize that you were back already.
Yeah, I told you I wouldn't be gone more than half an hour. I thought you'd be in the room.
I went downstairs to get a magazine.
Didn't they have any?
Well, I guess I forgot to buy one. I got to looking in the windows of the dress shops, and I forgot my original purpose completely.
Susan, are you okay?
Of course. Why do you ask?
I don't know, you've got that funny look in your eyes again.
Have I?
Doesn't matter. They're still the two most beautiful eyes in the world. Hey, what is this? Don't tell me the honeymoon's over so soon.
Now, why do you say that?
That was like kissing a snowman.
I guess I just don't feel like myself today. I think maybe... All this traveling has worn me down a little.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we don't have much further to go. Just one more plane trip to San Francisco.
Yes.
Look, maybe you'd rather not go out tonight. Maybe you ought to stay in, order some dinner in the room. I don't mind.
But you wanted to go to that restaurant, the one you told me about. You've been looking forward to it.
The Landmark? Yeah. Well, I did want to try the place. It's supposed to be really spectacular.
But you've never eaten there before.
Well, no, how could I? I've never been in L.A. before.
I was thinking today that, well, you seemed to know the city so well when we drove around. You didn't seem to have the slightest trouble.
Streets are very well marked in this town. It's really a pleasure to drive here. Look, you know what I think? I think you ought to take a nap before dinner.
Yes. I was thinking of lying down, but I don't think I can sleep.
Okay, then. Just read your magazine. Wait a minute, you haven't got one. I'll take care of that.
Where are you going?
Going to get my bride something to read. How about a nice magazine about cooking? You know, I never did ask you if you can cook.
Just get me a news magazine of some kind, all right?
Uh-huh, the brainy type. I should have known. See you in 10 minutes. I'll take the key so you won't have to get up.
Yes. All right. Oh, dear God. It can't be true. It just can't be any truth to what that man said. He's made a mistake. Luggage. His initials, D.C. Oh, but anyone could have those initials. Anyone. I wonder if... It's open. Oh, for heaven's sake, what am I doing? Searching my husband's luggage like some kind of hotel thief. No. I won't do it. I won't. I won't. Who's that? Hello?
Mrs. Carey, it's Gail Harrington.
Leave me alone. Stop bothering me.
You shouldn't have run off like that, Mrs. Carey. You didn't give me a chance to finish what I was saying.
I told you, I don't want to hear anymore. It isn't true. You've made a mistake, Lieutenant.
Your husband is at the newsstand right now, Mrs. Carey. I can see him from where I'm standing at the house phones. And the more I look at him, the more sure I am that I'm right.
No, you're wrong.
I want you to hear the rest of the story about Crawford and David Chase and what they did on their honeymoon. Maybe what I told you before didn't convince you, but if you heard a few more things...
I'm going to hang up, Lieutenant, right now.
I wanted you to know where Don Crawford took his wife the night she was murdered in a room. He took her to a restaurant called The Landmark. You ever hear of it? Mrs. Carey? Hey, are you listening?
No. No, I'm not listening. I won't listen.
And so Susan Carey seems to have a date at the Landmark restaurant in Los Angeles with her loving husband, Dan. If she keeps the date, something tells me that she's not going to do their cuisine very much justice. Because one needs peace of mind to enjoy good food. Fear affects the salivary glands, and terror ruins the taste buds. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K
presents Overweight on an Overnight Train.
Is the seat taken?
Please, sit down. You have exceptional legs. But why is one of them attached to a ball and chain?
This ball and chain? It's a symbol.
Funny, I would have sworn it was a ball and chain.
I mean symbolic. Because carrying around a few extra pounds can be just like lugging around this ball and chain.
I see. May I suggest something?
Uh-huh.
Try a bowl of Special K skim milk orange juice and coffee. It's the Special K breakfast.
Will it make me lose weight?
No.
Oh.
You must also exercise and eat smart at every meal.
I see.
Do you know the Special K? Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free and delicious.
No, but if you hum a few bars...
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K. Good night.
This is Chris Schenkel for the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. You know, you get used to looking at sports one way from up here in the booth, and sometimes we're inclined to overlook the importance of sports from another point of view. And that's from the point of view of kids. You know, a child doesn't have to be a natural athlete or a super performer on the field to be physically fit. Any child, boy or girl, can be in shape. And the best way is through a regular, vigorous program of physical education in our schools. Fitness at an early age, doctors tell us, can have a lot to do with a child's future health as an adult. Fitness can help them become more mentally alert, better achievers, more outgoing, and happier. Yes, so often we overlook the need to educate a child's body as well as his or her mind. So we urge you to support the physical education programs in your schools and to make sure your kids are getting the kind of instruction they need. For more information, write to the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Washington, D.C., zip code 20201.
Well, what have we here? A quiet meal for two at the Landmark restaurant? No. We seem to be in a hotel room. The same room in which we last saw our honeymooning couple, Susan and Dan Carey. Obviously, there's been a change of plan. Room service has provided the meal for the two lovers this evening. Can it be that Susan Carey has decided that if there is a pattern, it must be broken?
Have some more wine, honey?
No. I really don't think I want any.
Hey, come on. You know what this bottle cost.
You shouldn't have been so extravagant.
I just wanted to make up. Well, never mind.
You mean for not taking me to the Landmark?
No, it doesn't really matter. I told you, it's fun to eat in a room. It's very elegant.
I'm sure you were disappointed.
No, I really wasn't. Look, we're not going to be very far from Los Angeles. We'll probably fly down from San Francisco a few times a year.
There are dozens of wonderful restaurants in San Francisco, too, aren't there?
So they tell me. I'll ask the guys at the office for recommendations.
I think this food is quite good, don't you?
Yeah, sure. It's fine. Tastes even better with the wine.
Well, all right. I'll have some more, I guess.
That a girl. Now, look, I'm not trying to get you drunk, you understand, so I can take advantage of you. Although, you look very delectable in that robe.
Oh, did you really like it?
Irresistible.
I didn't take much of a wardrobe with me.
Now, you said you were going to buy clothes in San Francisco.
Yes, if I can find out where to go,
I'll take you down to Union Square. I hear that's the place. Oh, I have told you about the weekend, haven't I?
No. What about it?
I thought we'd get our first look at the town by taking one of those Circle Line cruises. That okay with you?
Oh, yes, that sounds lovely. I love to see places by water.
And if we can squeeze it in, we might go picnicking in Golden Gate Park. They've got this Japanese tea garden. It's supposed to be very nice.
Yes. All sounds wonderful, Dan.
Susan, I just wish you felt better. Maybe you ought to check with the hotel doctor and... in case you picked up a bug or something.
Do I look that bad to you?
No. You look just great to me, darling. Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, honey. Reserve the car ahead of time. Then we can pick it up right away in San Francisco.
Whatever you think, Dan.
You wait right here. I'll go over to the counter.
It's all right.
Be back in 10 minutes.
All right, Dan.
Mrs. Carey.
Oh, no. Not you again.
I didn't mean to startle you.
Go away. Please go away. I don't want to see you anymore. I hear anything you have to say.
Now, I know that I seem to be persecuting you or something.
As you can see, Lieutenant, I am in perfectly good health. I was not murdered in my sleep in that hotel room.
Look,
Mrs. Carey, I've only got a few minutes before your husband gets back. I just wanted to finish my story about this other guy, this David Chase.
I don't care if you are a policeman. I'll call someone and have you arrested for bothering me.
David Chase's wife didn't get killed in Los Angeles. She died in San Francisco.
Where? In her hotel room?
No, not there. But they stayed at the San Remo. Is that where you're staying?
Yes, but millions of people do.
No, there wasn't any mysterious intruder this time. In fact, Mrs. Chase's death was listed officially as an accident. She had a little too much to drink at dinner, and her feet got tangled up on top of a very steep hill. The fall broke her neck. It was her very first day in San Francisco. She and her husband had quite a day, too. They took one of those boat cruises to see the city. Then they went to Golden Gate Park, to the Japanese Tea Garden. Miss Carey, are you okay?
No. No, I'm not okay. How could I be?
That night, they went to a restaurant called the Vendome. That's where the lady drank too much, at least according to her husband.
Oh, dear God.
Listen, Mrs. Carey, I can't follow you anymore. I've got a job to get back to. I want you to take this.
A gun.
Quiet. Don't draw anyone's attention to us. Just take it. If I'm wrong and you don't need it, fine. Just throw it away.
No, I don't want
it. I cannot have you on my conscience, don't you understand?
All right. Yes, all right. I'll take it. I still say you're wrong.
I hope so. But I don't think I am.
Hello?
Mrs. Carey?
Yes?
This is the message desk. Your husband left a message here for you at 4 o'clock.
Oh, I've been out until now.
Hey, would you like me to read it to you?
Yes, please.
It says, we'll be at the office until 6. Should be there no later than 6:30. Love, Dan.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye. Now. Oh, God. Why do I keep staring at his luggage? Why can't I just forget about it? No. It isn't dishonest. It's just something I have to do. No, nothing in this one but clothing. One has papers and things. All his documents. Birth certificate. Honorable discharge. U.S. Navy. Daniel Eldon Carey. That is his name. It is. That Matt Harrington was wrong. Doesn't this mean he was wrong? Or does it just mean that I'm not going to start thinking that way. These look like photographs. Maybe his family. Oh, no, wait. This picture is signed. It's your pretty girl. To Dan. All my love forever, Edith. Edith. What was the name he said? That policeman. What was the name that man's wife was? Wasn't it Edith? Oh, no. Who is it?
It's me, honey.
Oh, one second.
Hi, sweetheart.
Sorry.
I forgot to take my key. Hey, I'm not late, am I? I told him at the desk I'd be back at 6. Well, it's not even that. Hey, why is it so dark in here, Susan?
Oh, I just got back myself. I didn't think of turning on all the lights.
Susan, I have a confession to make. I wasn't at the office at all. My new staff thought they ought to christen the new boss.
I tell you one thing about San Francisco. It's a hard-drinking town.
Susan, what's the matter?
Dad, I found her picture.
What?
I found her picture. Your first wife's.
What are you talking about? I was never married.
Then what's her picture doing in your luggage?
Hey, what's going on here? You must be drunker than I am.
Don't come near me. Stay away from me, Dan.
Susan, are you out of your head?
I saw her picture. Do you hear me? I found her picture on our honeymoon.
Now, wait a minute. Do you mean Edith?
I know all about her. Yes, and about the other one. She drank too much, too, didn't she? She was drunk, too.
Now, look, will you calm down?
Is that what you were planning to do tonight? Get me drunk at the restaurant? You were going to take me out to dinner tonight, weren't you?
Of course I was. I asked one of the guys at the...
Well, I can tell you the restaurant he picked. Do you want me to tell you the name of the restaurant, Dan? It's the Vendôme, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it is. How did you know that?
Because I know it all. I know everything. Oh! No, don't come here.
Susan,
I'll call the police.
Now, Susan, look. I don't know what the trouble is, but you've got to be sick. You need help.
No, don't come any closer.
You've been acting funny ever since we left Chicago.
I warn you. Look. Look.
My God.
I've got a gun.
Susan, put that down.
I'm not going to end up like them.
Give me that thing, Susan.
Don't. Oh, don't, Dad, please!
Susan,
I don't want to shoot you!
One second.
Well.
Mr. Harvey?
Mrs. Carey, I didn't know that you were, Look, let me just get a shirt on. I was just shaving.
I'm sure you're surprised to see me, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I didn't expect that you'd... What brings you back to L.A.?
I'm sure you know, Mr. Harvey. That is the right name, isn't it? Not Harrington?
I guess that means you know all about my little joke.
The gun wasn't a joke, was it? The gun was real.
Now, look, I can tell you're upset, but I didn't mean any harm. I mean, I like Dan. I really
do. You despised my husband, Mr. Harvey. Why don't you admit it? You hated the fact that he got the job you wanted in San Francisco, and all you got was an assistant manager's job in Chicago.
You are wrong. I just thought it'd be a good gag, a good joke on Danny Boy.
Yes. I've heard about your reputation, the great practical joker. You thought of a great one this time.
Yeah, but that's all it was.
You gave Dan the itinerary for our honeymoon trip. You were just being helpful, of course. You gave him all the names and places, all the benefit of your traveling experience.
That was the gag, see? I thought if Dan took you to all the places I listed for
him... You even knew about Edith, the girl he was once engaged to, the one who died. She became his murder victim in your little fantasy. What did you think would happen, Mr. Harvey? Did I get frightened enough to kill Dan so that you might get the job he took away from you?
Listen, is Dan all right?
I thought you might want this back, Mr. Harvey. Your gun.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't do anything stupid.
Oh, you don't have to worry. I found out that I'm a terrible shot.
Then Dan's alive?
See for yourself.
Hello, Marty.
Dan! Thank heavens you're okay. Look, Dan, I didn't mean for anything serious to happen.
See the bandage, Marty? Just a flesh wound in my arm. I'll be okay.
I'm glad to hear it, Danny. Honest, I am.
But I am learning to use my left arm, though. Like
wait
this.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, no. No, don't. Please. I didn't mean it. Don't hit me again.
Relax, Marty. I've got better things to do. I've got a honeymoon to finish. Although, with any luck, it'll never end.
So you see, even murder stories can have happy endings. Martin Harvey may have spoiled Susan and Dan's honeymoon, but that doesn't mean he managed to spoil their marriage. No. If that's going to happen, Susan and Dan will take care of that all by themselves. I'll be back shortly.
Poverty to me is not just a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of power. We want to try to see whether it's possible to live in the city. Whether or not it's possible to share life, you know, on a city street. The give and take of city living is what you might call it. Whether or not we could bring people together to begin to work together and confront the problems that are all our problems. I think really that the problems that people face in life can be solved. You don't need someone from outside to do it. And you really don't need a great deal of money to do it. What you do need is a lot of people who recognize that they have the ability to do something about the problem. Not by themselves, maybe, but working together and sharing their talents and their ideas. Together they can confront the problems and overcome them. That's what the Campaign for Human Development is all about.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
A purist might claim that the story you have just heard isn't a murder story, since no one was actually killed. The murders, which took place, were all in the imagination of Martin Harvey, who passed them on to the mind of Susan Carey. But it's a good demonstration of the point we've tried to make all along, that the most terrifying crimes can happen within the theater of the mind. Our cast included Betsy von Furstenberg, Michael Wager, Elspeth Eric, and Mason Adams. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
What are you thinking about, child?
The day we were married. The day you said it was bad luck for us to see each other before the wedding.
Oh, I was just joking about superstitions. Nobody believes those old wives' tales.
Nobody believes so many things that are outside the ordinary. Did you see Michael's body after?
What?
Did you see the marks of the hooves?
Oh, don't talk about that, lass.
I know they said the horse trampled him. I asked Dr. Ferguson about the hooves and he wouldn't tell me. You'd tell me, wouldn't you, Jeannie?
Oh, tell you what?
Were they like horseshoes? Or were they cleft in two? Were they cloven hooves?
In the name of God, what are you saying?
I'm not speaking of God. I'm speaking of the devil.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
News coming up shortly on KIXI. Today's news next on KIXI AM and FM in Seattle. It's 12 midnight.
Two Republican leaders speak out before partisan audiences. One faces Watergate head-on. The other deletes it from his speech. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Vice President Gerald Ford, addressing a Republican dinner in Atlantic City, New Jersey, said the party faithful must work head-on to avoid a disaster in the November election. Ford's advance text contained several references to Watergate, but when he delivered the speech, the word was omitted. In Fresno, California, Governor Ronald Reagan was more direct in his remarks before the California Republican Assembly.
It's time for all of us to put Watergate in perspective. Obviously, it was illegal. It was immoral. And just as obviously, it did not and does not have our approval. We have been outvoted by tombstones, warehouses, and empty lots in too many elections in years past to condone this sort of thing.
Reagan, like Ford, urged Republicans not to sit out the coming elections, but fight hard to overcome the difficult odds. President Nixon is spending the night at his mountain retreat at Camp David, where it was indicated late Saturday that the 42 tapes sought by the House Judiciary Committee would not be turned over by Mr. Nixon until, said News Secretary Ronald Ziegler, the House specifies what materials are needed and why. The Ziegler statement came after a report was published that the tapes would be released next week. Ziegler also attacked another report in the Los Angeles Times, which said that it had been told by congressional sources that the Nixon-Dean tapes showed clearly that the president did not disapprove of hush money payments to the Watergate defendants. Ziegler said that such reports were malicious and cannot help but influence the White House attitude, said Ziegler, with respect to providing additional materials to the House impeachment inquiry in the future. More CBS News in a moment.
Poverty to me is not just a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of power. We want to try to see whether it's possible to live in the city. Whether or not it's possible to share life, you know, on a city street. The give and take of city living is what you might call it. Whether or not we could bring people together to begin to work together and confront the problems that are all our problems. I think really that the problems that people face in life can be solved. You don't need someone from outside to do it. And you really don't need a great deal of money to do it. What you do need is a lot of people who recognize that they have the ability to do something about the problem. Not by themselves, maybe, but working together and sharing their talents and their ideas. Together they can confront the problems and overcome them. That's what the Campaign for Human Development is all about.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
Another incident involving American fishing vessels off the coasts of Latin American countries on the small island of Isla Mujeres offshore from Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. Mexican officials are reportedly holding at least one U.S.-owned private shrimp boat and its crew. According to the Coast Guard, the seizure may have occurred because the boats were too close to the coast.
We got a report from the owner that the fishing vessel Vilco was seized by the Mexicans and taken into port, and there was four other vessels reportedly followed him in. It appears that the people were getting too close to the coastline down there, and the only thing that the boat was trying to do was to get them out of there.
Chief Petty Officer Bill Odom at the Coast Guard Center in New Orleans. Owners of other boats operating in the area say they expect a fine of up to $24,000 to be levied before the stripped boats are released. A DC-8 passenger plane caught fire while being serviced at Travis Air Force Base in California Saturday night. One man died in the ensuing explosion and three others were injured. The jet had returned with Air Force dependents from the Pacific area earlier in the day. The plane carrying Secretary of State Henry Kissinger is expected to land within a few hours at Bonn, West Germany, en route to Moscow. There, Kissinger will renew talks with Soviet leaders on both the Middle East and nuclear arms. High on the agenda will be an attempt to gain Soviet aid in bringing Syria to the conference table in Washington, where Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Dayan will arrive next Friday to start talks on disengagement on the Golan Heights front. More in a moment.
From the moment that a child becomes aware of himself as a thinking being, he begins the difficult task of learning to communicate. For a while, gestures coupled with sounds are all he has. Then, gradually, he starts to assimilate the language he hears. And finally, the breakthrough and the miracle of human speech is his. As difficult as that process is for a child born without handicaps, imagine what it's like for one with cerebral palsy. In addition to the brain damage, which may make it difficult to walk or even use his hands, very often his speech center may have been affected as well. Although speech therapy may help, guttural sounds and slurred consonants may be the best he can muster in his effort to communicate. Imagine that same child years later. For children with cerebral palsy do grow up, and they need you then as much as ever to be understood, to find jobs, to enjoy life. Think about that when you are asked to give to United Cerebral Palsy.
Spokesman in Saigon said early Sunday that communist permission for American search teams to look for missing U.S. servicemen has been withdrawn. The reason said to be Viet Cong demands that the U.S. stop what it called American-backed South Vietnamese attacks on their positions. Meanwhile, the Saigon command reported that there were 126 Viet Cong attacks in the 24 hours ending at dawn Sunday. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, late night and morning fog, low clouds. Mostly sunny this afternoon, but increasing cloudiness tomorrow. Today's high in the upper 50s, the mid-50s tomorrow. Lows in the lower 40s. And currently it's 46 degrees at 6 minutes past midnight.